life's gone down the drain. Your body's wrecked with pain. There's just one thing to blame. Dynamite in the brain.
You are listening to Dynamite in the Brain with Brian Smith and Anthony Askew. Tonight's episode, Japan Animator Expo Shorts Part 3. That's right, third time and the last time. And we're back once again with Niall Flanagan.
It's me!
Hello, Niall. We are recording this moments after finishing recording the previous episode.
What do you mean, Brian? It's been an entire week. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Let's go into these final batch of shorts and the one extra. So this final batch is from July 31st, 2015 to October the 9th, 2015. But then we've got an extra one at the end from a year later. So let's begin with Hammerhead, director Otaru Maijo and Mihiro Maeda. And so this is a similar situation to Dragon Dentist. Maijo writes and directs. Maeda does all the animation stuff. Mm. So, Anthony, I believe you were raving about this on Twitter earlier.
Oh, I was.
Tell the audience about Hammerhead.
I watched this three times. Like, once, oh. Twice, and then again. Before I watched any of
three.
The others.
Well done, Anthony.
No, I'm just... I just wanted to be clear that it was straight off the belt, because the first time I was trying to read stuff, then the second time I wanted to watch it, and then I just wanted to watch it again. So, there's a guy who gets his the top of his noggin knocked off by a serial killer, which... I've got a question about this at the end. And he's got this strange power that has suddenly awakened in his body that means he can regenerate and heal himself. And he becomes the superhero Hammerhead. And he is really tough and fights really strong things. But he has a daughter who kind of doesn't want to see him die, but she understands that he's sick of this life that he's living in, and he just kind of wants to rest finally. And he's on his deathbed because he's fought a foe that is too strong for him. He's on his deathbed, and she just wants to see this end. And I don't know if we should spoil it, but it's one of the most intense things I've ever seen. And to watch it three times in a row, it's like, oh god, it's great. Oh wow.
Yeah, this is kind of a bit more up the writer's alley, Otaru Maijo, because he's more of like a crime novelist and doing a lot more kind of very gritty, very brutal kind of stories now. I think this would play more to his strengths than Dragon Dentist does.
But my question, I have to get this out there, was he the serial killer? I know this sounds silly, because... But the way it's worded in the subs, it suggests that the serial killer isn't the one that hit him in the head. I thought it was somebody defending themselves from him. And he's like this, almost like this anti-hero, and perhaps it was even his daughter, but that wouldn't make sense because she wouldn't care about him. But I don't know, just there's some, whether it's just poorly worded subs, I don't know. But it's worded quite strangely, and I was like, I don't know if he's the serial killer and it's someone defending themselves, or whether a serial killer knocked his noggin off.
I don't think so, really. I think it would have been like a third party though who would have committed to, because it would play more to the kind of theme and seeing how once an average man experiences brutality, he's drawn into a life of brutality and violence himself.
I understand it, but I think when you watch it three times in a row, you start to look at things differently. Mm. Or try at least become into a weird fever dream. But God, I love this.
Well, it looks
the
like your
design
of
Hammerhead is perfect.
You're not the only person who's wondered that. I found somebody else wondering the same thing.
Good. I think that there could well be some truth there, then, if that's the case. Me and somebody else who... may have watched it three times in a row.
Ninja Burger 101 also thought.
That's my alias. No, it's not. But everything about it, I think you've got to watch it again just to see some of the action properly, because there's so much motion it's and to try and keep up with the subs as well as the action, it's an impossible task if you want to do it properly. But oh god, I was like, oh my god, give me a series, give me a film of Hammerhead.
I don't know. I was thinking it's good. You think initially you think, oh, I'd want a series or I'd want a film, but I think then you go, it might be really exhausting to watch more of this.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a point, but I was super hyped up. Like, now I'll say spoilers at the end when that he gets his powers back after he's effectively dead and he comes back. I was like, oh, this is brilliant. But at the same time, I wanted him to finally rest. That was like the sweet moment, but I was happy to see Hammerhead back.
Yeah, so the problem is he's not really much of a conversationalist, so you couldn't break the action up really with Hammerhead having funny conversations like they have in One Punch Man.
That is true.
It'll just be him brutally biting a guy's face and tearing his eyes out with his teeth and spitting them out.
Yeah, he's pretty damn tough.
It's impressively grotesque. I mean, the fact that he's, on his deadbed, as you say, but reduced to, he's got skull with a bit of the brain hanging out and the jaw and, like, some of the guts over there. And then, like, most of the left arm is kind of just, like, some bone fragments and a hand there, but they've arranged it so you can kind of make out, oh, that's which arm would be if it wasn't disintegrated by a supervillain.
I loved it as well. And I may have watched it 3 times too, but not in a row.
It's easy done because it's although maybe 9 minutes in total, like cut off 45 seconds for the intro bit, and it flies over.
I imagine you kind of watching it, like spooling back and forth to the frames, and it's like, huh, I put it in rewind, I guess got spilled back into his stomach.
Oh god, I've got it on the background now with the audio off, and it's just, oh, it looks fantastic.
But yeah, if you're after the sort of anime violence that Mummy used to make, then this is where you need to go. Next up, Comedy Skit 1989, directed by Kazuto Nakazawa, who did the shorts Comedy, Anthony's favourite.
Oh!
And Moon Drive, that was in Genius Party Beyond, wasn't it, Moon Drive?
Which one was Moon Drive again?
I know what it looks like. I can't remember what it was about.
Right. Well, I love comedy. I will, I'm a
and
fan of...
This one was co-written with Hiroshi Seko, who was the head writer on Mob Psycho 100. And it is a comedy skit about two hitmen.
Brothers.
In the style of 1989... comedy, apparently. And okay. I wasn't sure about it at first, but I was thoroughly warmed up to it by the end. Mm-hmm. I did really enjoy it.
Yeah, it was alright.
Whoa! There's one joke in there that I laughed out loud. I laughed so hard and out loud, I was quite surprised, and that was the helium joke. Where he, what does he say? He's got like, why does he give, he gives him a,
he's like, he's like catch your breath, man, you're gonna waste too much oxygen. Yeah. Here, have some oxygen. Okay.
And he throws it, and I laughed out loud at that. But I like this a lot as well.
I'm surprised. Because often when I find something funny, you don't find it funny.
Yeah, but I found this very amusing actually. And I like this, the whole, I don't know, just how the story final, like the ending is great.
Yeah, you so see it coming, enough. But it's still.
Mm. Oh yeah,
it
yeah.
still is. Just because you can see it coming, it doesn't mean it's not good. But yeah, they're twins. No. That's probably the other thing we should point out, is the hitmen are twins, and there's lots of jokes around twins throughout it.
Yeah, I know which one Moon Drive is now, and it was bloody good.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I like this one. Like
anything this. To add right apart from say. A squeaky noise, Niall?
I didn't watch, it was fine, but it didn't really grab me as much as it did you two guys.
Yeah,
I like something in that like lockdown setting where it's although they do change location, but the majority of it is in this like saloon bar.
It's kind of stagey, but obviously that's the thing it's going for because it's trying to be like TV sketch comedy.
Yeah,
and unlike his previous thing called comedy, this actually has comedy in it.
Whoa, that one's really funny. He smiles at the end, the vampire. There's a joke there.
Next up is Boo Boo and Boo Boo Lina, directed by Takashi Nakamura, who was responsible for Catnapped, A Tree of Palm, and the short Nightmare in Robot Carnival. Three things I have not seen. But I have seen Boo Boo and Boo Boo Lina.
Yes.
And so this is about two sisters, Boo Boo and Boo Boo Lina. Boo Boo has a horn which shoots out balloons, I think.
Anything she wants.
Yeah.
But they are like helium.
She's got, and Boo Boo Lina's kind of like a meaner older sister. And they meet this girl who's dancing in these shoes, and Boo Boo Lina's like, "Oh, those are really nice shoes. You dance really well." And then she's like, "Well, you can have these shoes if you like." And so she puts the shoes on, and then she becomes possessed. Okay, when the girl takes the shoes off, her body shrinks back down to a different size and runs off. Like, I think you've got the curse now.
It's like an enemy stand. Like, she's been there for like years and years trying to get somebody to wear these shoes.
I can't remember how they get rid of the curse.
The ghost, I suppose, is like, "I dance so much, but I don't have an audience who will cheer me on." And then
Boo Boo
is like, "Oh, okay, well, I'll miss these balloon people, and they'll clap away for you." And the curse is broken. Hooray!
Yeah.
Souls at rest.
And it's got a really great visual style to it. And I really like the fact that he just like treats it as like, "Yeah, you know who these two characters you've never seen before are." Give you no explanation of who these two people are. They just wander around and get into an adventure.
Yeah, well, like, you pick it up, like...
Oh, yeah, exactly. Well, that's why I love it. It's because, yeah, it's just very confident in not having to do any sort of world building at all.
Yeah, I mean, I like Boo Boo Lina's, like, walk with, like, just throwing the legs out there. And then this would just want to do all this walk around, getting the mischief. And then they encounter this little episode, they deal with it, and then, all right, well, that was weird. Back to our daily routine. Did marching out, throwing legs out. It's just like a walk in the park with him.
Yeah, I wasn't too into this one. I didn't hate it, but I felt like it wasn't ticking my boxes.
Does that appeal to you?
As what?
Sorry, did the visuals not appeal to you? Or?
Oh, visually, I think it's a nice look. It reminded me of... a thing that we watched a while. Is it Hypera, the little vampire? It has that weird, like, I don't even know how you would describe, but it reminded me of that, and I like that look. Mm. So it was worthwhile, I suppose.
Well, I thought what you might have said, big Baroque Magica fan, you are, is a little bit like when they're fighting the witches, and they're doing weird little creations like that.
You're right. Yeah. But yeah, visually it's great, but I just wasn't too... Maybe I found the characters too annoying. Boo Boo and bloody Boo Bellina.
That was a continuing... It's like a run of three good ones in a row, I was thinking, on my point of view. And then we get Endless Night.
It's endless, all right. Boring.
What?
Boring night.
The prototype Yuri on Ice.
Yeah.
It is, but I got bored fast. At first, I was like, "This looks great." And I just got a bit bored.
Oh, yeah, coming to this after Yuri on Ice.
Yeah, which I have.
It's, there's no comparison. But though, obviously, you can compare it because it's the same director and same choreographer.
Yeah. Although, I even though I'd seen this before watching Yuri on Ice, I completely forgot about it until doing these again. It's a nice music video, and it's very well put together. I can understand, like, yeah, maybe it might just slip out of your mind that way because there's not much going on. But there's some like very lovely, lovely put together scenes. Well, what's up with your man? Like, everyone's sitting down, nice and quiet in the train, and was trying to like get home to work or from work, and he's just skating around. Just sit down, for God's sake! Try to sleep. I've worked about 13-hour days. I went drinking with the boss for the remaining 3 hours. I'm just trying to go home.
So he has to be like Billy Elliot then. Stop dancing.
Yeah, I think the problem for me with this is, as you say, going from Yuri on Ice, but because of that, the skater had zero personality for me. I know I don't expect a big personality in a short film, but because of that, I was like, yeah, I've seen dancing elsewhere on Yuri on Ice, and at least the characters have a bit more pizzazz to them, whereas this was just a dude. He was just a boring dude.
Well, yeah, and Yuri on Ice uses the dance to explain things about the characters.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, I wouldn't expect anything more in a short. Perhaps I'm being too harsh, because I didn't hate it, but I just found it a little boring.
I think without Yuri on Ice, it would be more memorable. But now it's just like a footnote to Yuri on Ice. Yeah.
It's nice to see where it came from.
Though. Oh, yeah.
It's like kind of her proof of concept. It's like, look, I'm a big skating fan, and I think they'll look good animated. Here's the thing that will kind of back up my point. I thought, yeah, actually, it's pretty good. So we'll make our run at room with like a bigger production on this kind of thing.
And then it's part two of Brian really needs to go and watch the other things Yoshihiro has made. As we get Bureau of Proto Society, in which, deep inside an underground bunker, humanity tries to piece together what happened to civilization. And unfortunately, they're piecing it together from pop culture. And so they come up with these different theories of how the world ended, and they all end up getting combined into one unifying theory. But then terrorists appear saying, the leaders are lying to you. Earth still exists. And they're basing this on something like, which I assume is supposed to be like a Heidi type TV show or anime.
Oh, I don't know. It could be a lot of things. A slice of life classic.
Yeah. Weirdly, I watched this the day I'd got the Kickstarter paranoia through the post. And this is so much like the paranoia role-playing game of like having these warped ideas of what life on the outside was like based on misremembered bits of pop culture.
I found this really clever. It's not something I expected at first. And I was like, what's going on here?
And there's even a joke apparently about a theoretical season 2 of Evangelion. And also they mistake season 2 for World War 2 or something.
Yes. It says to be continued, so we know that the war was not over yet. I mean, but like when they get to like the zombie section, it's like, as we see, you know, it begins this way, but as the scene progresses, the movements get faster, and then they become more intelligent. It's like, oh my god. It begins the letter Z for zombie, the last letter. How fitting.
Yeah, this was good. I did like this a lot.
Yeah. I think it's both the ideas of the pop culture being twisted into these apocalyptic mm-hmm. visions, but also like the dialogue of the characters discussing it, and really worked for me.
Yeah.
The reverse vampires with the cooperation of the Rand Corporation.
Next up, we've got The Ultraman, directed by Akitoshi Yokoyama, who was director of Photocano and character designer on SD Gundam, and is, I put based on Mamoru Uchiyama's The Ultraman, but I'm guessing it, a tribute to it, as I hadn't realised he was dead. So
yeah. Well, they must have made like a TV series, because it sounds like to me, at least, they're using like original dialogue from the show. Yeah,
I think they are, but I think they're also using plots out of the Ultraman manga.
Okay.
Is that on Crunchyroll? I've got the feeling. Is that on Crunchyroll as well?
Tell me.
It depends which one, because I know there was another The Ultraman that came out like not too long ago, which is like a more recent imagining of it.
I can't see it there, so maybe I'm misremembering. Right. Wow. But yeah, this is okay.
Whoa, what? Just okay?
I think so.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
See, I've never seen anything apart from like references and things and like pictures and like little snippets and GIFs. I've never seen Ultraman or anything of Ultraman. So I was like, if this is what Ultraman's about, I should watch it.
It's not
I'm kind of worried. Yeah.
There's there's a lot of Ultraman on Crunchyroll you can now watch though. So I'm sure you can find a Ultraman to suit you.
I really liked this. Like, I had like all the old kind of what I would call old sound effects going on and stuff. I was super into this. I'm very surprised. Is this a joke? Did you seriously just think it was okay?
Yeah, I just thought it was okay.
Oh.
I thought it was fine. Yeah, it was pretty nice. And it kind of felt to me like old Kira's, for people who are fans of watching all those old series. Like, this is almost like the version in my of like imagining your mind, because you can only go so far with like guys in suits with effects put over it, but now it's like it's happening like dynamic camera angles and feels so much more tangible and spectacular.
Oh, I was hoping everyone would all love this. The thing I don't want to watch.
I don't hate
a live
it. Though,
action.
Good,
well, that's
good.
Yeah, I mean to say it's okay isn't to say it's bad, I suppose. But I was like, I love all the designs of the. The Ultraman and women, I thought was... I want to watch more. I would really, really want to watch more of this.
Yeah, well, I'd put it in a similar bracket as the Gridman one from the first batch of 12.
I think this is way better. I didn't feel like enough happened in the Gridman one for me.
Yeah, well, but it's kind of a similar thing in all these.
It's
both like very technically impressive, you know. But if you are like are already a fan of the properties, you get a lot more out of it, I think, than you would. But I know, as you say, you're not like very well versed in Ultraman.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe that worked in its benefit, really.
And obviously, this ties in again to the Evangelion-ness of a lot of these shorts of Ultraman being possibly the big influence on Evangelion. Yeah, so if you've got choice here, if you want to watch some Ultraman, Anthony, you can watch Ultraman 80, Ultraman Gaia, Ultraman Ginga, Ultraman Leo, Ultraman Max, Ultraman Mebius, Ultraman Nexus, Ultraman Orb, or Ultraman X.
I've got the Ultraman X
for choice
now, but yeah.
You probably saw most of those guys getting killed over the course of this short.
Well, I think a bunch of these are quite new. I think Orb and X are pretty new.
Yeah, X, looking at the stills from X, it looks really new. So I don't think I would like it as a live action. I think I would find it a bit too cheesy. But I don't know. Maybe I'll try it. But as it stands right now, I really enjoyed this one.
Good, good. Next up, we have Girl, directed by Hibiki Yoshizaki. This is another one where I can't remember what happens in it.
It's just the same director. Video. Yeah, same director who did Me from way back there, and obviously that's got to become obvious thing because it ties in with those characters who show up at the end from that short. Then, it's pretty interesting. Some music video. Girl, she's in space. She's blowing bubbles and she's turning to stuff. Like, looks nice in places. It looks nice for the most part. I wouldn't say it's nice, the nicest looking thing, so there's not much more to carry besides that. It really just kind of passes over you.
I like the color palette. I like that kind of pastely color palette it uses, and I was quite surprised at the end because she kind of becomes a villain at the end. At least that's what I got from it. Like, she's not a villain at the start, and then all of a sudden she starts turning people into flowers, and even the cat dies, turned into a little stuffed toy. It's quite sad. But I quite liked it. Not as good as Me, 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 by no means, but
I think me, I the escalation going into like,
oh yeah,
some pretty some pretty darker territory there. It's just doesn't
better music as well.
Oh, absolutely. On me, that is.
Yeah,
I prefer.
Yeah.
So I actually remember some of the tunes.
This is I think this is the ones who did the remix of that me doing the music for this.
Daoko.
That's the one.
Then we've got Neon Genesis Impacts. More Evangelion nonsense. This time in CG. Directed by Yuhei Sakuragi, who did CG for Tiger and Bunny and CG for various other things.
I like the idea of the story. You know, we're seeing how the people who gotta live in this fucking city can get on with this bullshit happening around them on a daily basis.
Yeah, I like the idea. The execution of it turning into some sort of Idolmaster video. Not so sure of.
The thing is, it quickly goes dark again where...
Oh, yes, yeah.
She's left on her own and the city's getting destroyed around her and whatnot. We assume, we don't even see it happening at that point, and she's just on her own and it fades to black, I think. Yeah, it was alright. Pretty sad, really.
Yeah, like, the song didn't do anything for me, so... And the song's a big part of it. So...
Yeah.
Then we get Ragnarok, Hello from the Countries of the World, by Big O director Kazuyoshi Katayama.
Yeah.
In which the International Giant Robot Exhibition, Japan's robot goes berserk, and so all the other robots who are on display have to go and try and stop it. And then everything blows up.
Mm. It's fun.
Then you kind of notice that, oh, all the people who were watching this happen at the start, who were having lots of fun, they're probably dead now.
but they died happy, had a good time.
Yeah, they're enjoying themselves.
Taking bets on which one's going to win.
And the music is like, at first I was like, oh, I'm sick of the music. And then I finished watching it and I walked away and I was humming the music. So the music was all right in the end. Yeah, I like this one. It's a bit slow at the start. There wasn't much happening. And then when the rest of the robots turn up and when the two fists are fighting each other in the sky from the robots, I was like, oh, this is good. I quite enjoy it.
Mm.
Yeah, I like this one. Quite surprisingly, from a slow start, it picked up.
Yeah, it was good. You know, if we get the guy who knows how to direct big lumbering robots, and the character designs of robots look pretty good as well. It's the Yutaka Izubuchi who did Razaphon, by fighting his best known for, isn't it?
I really need to watch Razaphon at some point because it's one of those shows. Well, I watched the first episode, and the first episode is super derivative of Evangelion. And then, for some reason, I watched a random episode much later on in the series, and it is a completely different show. To the point where we were like, how is this the same show? I now know
how it is.
Well,
I'd like to watch that as well.
I don't know how it is, but I know the twist, which is not obvious in the first episode. But
I would like to watch that, so I would be willing to... It's been on my list for a while as well. Many AMVs used to just use it all the time.
Yeah, well, there's already a lot of kind of weird musical imagery in it to begin with, so I think it would play very well to an AMV or AMV-making crowd.
Now, do you think this was an allegory for anything?
Japan is best!
Yeah.
I'm not sure that is quite the case. I was thinking it might be a nuclear
Everyone's
power allegory.
Okay.
We've got this technology, but it's gone out of control. Please, can you try and everyone help us stop it from going out of control? And then they fail, and everybody dies.
Yeah. And there's a bit after the credits where the two fists collide,
Oh, yes, because even after they've defeated Japan, apparently, yeah. America and Russia are still attacking each other with what little remains of their robots.
Very good.
Talking of robots, Robot on the Road, directed by Hiroyuki Okiura, who also directed Jinro.
What?
Yeah.
Okay, okay.
And also Letter to Momo. Neither of which really resemble this, because I had not got him down as a pervert.
This is filth.
It is. Unfortunately, it's the sort of really well-made filth that makes you guilty for enjoying it.
Yeah. I was like, this looks very nice, but it's reprehensible in the content, so I'm not sure how to feel about it. I think I'd have to stand against it. I appreciate that it looks very nice, but otherwise, like, I stand against it.
It's kind of like its morals are in the sewer.
Mm.
I would say, even though the actual filth level is really quite low, but yes, his morals are in the sewer. So this robot gets picked up as a hitchhiker and then tries to succeeds in fact of taking compromising photos of the young woman who picked him up
for his blog,
assures her that he's not going to do it again at the end, and then promptly decides he's going to do it again.
He's a robot. He doesn't know pity. There's no remorse. Never get tired, and it will never ever stop.
And constantly lying as well, because he tells him various lies, which you've no idea if any of this is true at all.
Because it must be an incredibly advanced robot then, because you know there's the fact that a robot is able to lie. That's
he
amazing.
Sweats oil.
AI. Yeah.
See, I was kind of on his side in a weird way. I had this like comedy sympathy for him, and then when he creeps into the thing, I was like, "Yeah, this is a bit too creepy," because he like she's asleep and he sneaks in and takes a selfie with her while she's asleep. It's just a bit weird.
That is really.
But he's a dirty old man. He's got like this dirty old man robot voice. But I like this. It's a good show. It looks good.
Oh yeah, it looks amazing because he's a really good animator and director. Just, I wasn't expecting him to be quite so much of a pervert.
No.
Yeah. Why the hell would he? If he was going to sneak in, why then would he then like start uploading the thing right then and there?
For comedy, I'm guessing.
No. Well, I'm glad he got caught then.
Well, he's with another bunch at the end.
I know. After she resets him for the rest of the journey and then sends him on his way. Because he's claiming that he's going to get repairs and this will stop him from doing this.
Do we ever get a name for the robot?
He says what model he is.
Yeah.
Ah, okay.
But who? That might be another lie.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, as well as talking like an old man, he looks like an old man as well. In that his mouth's got very few teeth in it. Then the final one of this batch is Cassette Girl, directed by Hiroyasu Kobayashi, the Evangelion CGI director, in which a girl is looking to recover a Betamax cassette. But the, what are they called?
Media police.
That's it. I was trying to remember.
Something
yes.
like that.
Something like that. Which are basically Blu-rays with lights on, and then they assemble into like a giant robot. But then she finds a Betamax, puts it in her robot, and then she transforms into the girl out of the Otakon.
Daikon 4.
Yeah, the Daikon 4 rather. Yeah, Daikon 4. Yeah. Openings, but then also the video then switches into 4x3 and starts having like tracking problems.
That was a good touch, actually. I did like that.
Yeah, that impressed me. I didn't expect that, and I was like, oh, this is clever, good utilization of that. So
but apart from that, did you enjoy it, Anthony?
I don't know. I can't say I didn't, because I'd be lying, but I wanted a little bit more from it. I felt like it was lacking something. I don't know what. Like a deeper meaning. Was there a deeper meaning there with the media police? I don't know, but I guess I enjoyed it enough. Maybe if it didn't have that switching ratio, I might have been left a little colder by it, just because I don't think it brought much else.
Have you seen the Daikon openings?
I've only seen like stills from it. I've never... Yeah. But I do think it's a good use. Very good use.
Yeah, I enjoy it. I mean, it is just sort of a homage and showing off.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
kind
yeah.
of a tribute to Betamax. But yeah, I found it very enjoyable. How about you, Niall?
Yeah, it was pretty good. My goal to farms is that remember like Betamax tapes now on unwieldy they were, I had to remind them all the time. Weren't those fantastic? Now these guys in blue has come along with one menu and chapter selection, high definition visuals, whatever. It was a little bit of that, like
yes, they even they romanticize. She romanticizes rewinding because her robot is kind of like
it's made out of like little. Basically kind of tape deck bits. It's got, I tend to get it now, but even like the arms of it has like the spools where the tape would run through. No, all the little touches like that.
Yeah, and they tie up the bad guy in tape as well, which is...
Mm-hmm. Although I wasn't kind of left going crazy for it, I would have liked to have seen, not in this short, but maybe in like other iterations, I'd like to see what else they could do with the transformations, putting in like other... tapes from other shows.
Oh yes, because they specifically say they can. Oh, good, it's an anime tape, which lets them do this transformation. Yeah, you're right. That would be interesting to see.
Like so many possibilities for like a comedy or serious. It'd be really good. Yeah, and I do miss rewinding VHS. I don't miss it, but it's been a long time since I've done it. So
I think I've still got a VHS player here. So
watch one at the end and. Rewind it, see how you feel.
Not sure I've got any VHS tapes here, but I've got a player.
Mm. It feels like a million years ago since I've done that, but it's not that long ago, really. No.
It's okay.
Yeah, see, I had a fanciful idea of like, I'll buy a new VHS, well, not a new one, but a secondhand one off eBay, and I'll get some of these, I'll put some of these tapes through and I'll rip them. And I was like, so I did one, I was like, fuck that for a game of Sarge. You've got to sit and wait for the entire tape to play for it to do. I was like,
yep.
Oh.
But don't you ponder about what a great piece of media you just consumed, Brian? A man on the go, God. I would say, too, out of like the CG heavy things we've come across in these expo shots so far, this would be one of the better examples.
Yeah, it definitely is the better job of sort of combining an anime style with CG.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, even better than the Evangelion CGI, which they're responsible for.
Yes.
Ooh.
So, hey, maybe the CGI will look better in the next movie. And then, that was 2015, but then a year later, November 23rd, 2016, we got Mobile Police Pat Labor Reboot. Directed by Yasuhiro Yoshiura again. But this time we also have returning from Pat Labor. We have script co-written with Katsunori Ito. Original character design by returning champ Masami Yuki. Music by returning champ Kenji Kawai. Mecha design by returning champ Yutaka Izubuchi. And the other new person we've got here is animation character design by Naoyuki Asano, who we know from Mr. Osomatsu and Saint Young Men. And so, yes, this was a brand new Pat Labor. New characters.
Yeah, the new class.
Yes. Not the live-action characters.
Yeah. But they have enough kind of familiar ticks from the original cast as well. You can kind of say, oh, this new character is like an old character I like.
So. And also, you don't see one of the characters. If you notice that you only see one of the pilots, you don't see who the other pilot is. So there's always the option there of making that somebody we do know.
Yeah, and they mentioned, like, you know, remember our old captain taught us to act like this way in the field. You know, Dubai was the old captain. Was that one of the original cast? Ooh. Who knows?
Who knows? I suspect we may find out. Because I'm pretty sure they weren't doing this for their health.
No, yeah, they want to go out of this, I think. If we go get all the old guys back and really put their all into this.
Yeah, I really like this. And I like the fact that it also felt like it was Pat Labor, but it also felt like it was Yasuhiro Yoshiura directing it rather than somebody trying to ape Oshii or any of the other directors from the original series. Because you got lots of stuff with, like, reactions from the people around the crime taking place.
I kind of like, as well, as I said, while it is a familiar kind of Pat Labor situation, they also acknowledge that, oh yeah, now social media is also a thing, so there's even more things that are documenting the misadventures and of the police force who are taking care of these things, so they're going to run into more trouble with the superiors over the amount of damage they're causing to the local property.
How about you, Anthony? You've been strangely quiet.
I know, I'm just taking it all in because my Pat Labor experience is just what we watched. Was it for... We watched a few episodes of an episode. Or was it a film? Did we watch a film?
I think I gave you some episodes. I don't think
we've definitely discussed. I'm sure we have.
I think you watched like one first episode of it.
Yeah, I remember saying I used to always think it was Pat Laboran. Like I always had this weird, jaded view that I would find it very, very dull. Whereas in fact, it's really, really fun. But I like this a lot. I was like super on board. I just want to see it come. Do they want to do a film? Do they want to do a series?
Well, I say, if you like how this is, then let's go watch the original series, because there'll be a lot of that.
Yeah, there's a lot of that.
Yeah, I guess so.
Don't watch the live action, though.
No, I don't.
Why not?
It's not very good. The episode zero is good if you watch the cartoon.
Right.
Because it brings back Shigeru Chiba as his character from the cartoon in live action. And so you get some nice references to the original, but
I mean, you could even watch that first movie and you'd be pretty well set. It's kind of coming, you know, their department's about to be closed down or threatened to be closed down, but you know, it's getting the gang together for another adventure, and you have and there's such kind of well-written characters you can pick up on who they are and what they're about fairly quickly.
I liked it a lot, actually. It's makes me want to see more. So maybe, yeah, I'll probably just add it to my endless list of everything else. I wish I would just win the lottery. Then I could get through stuff without having to work.
Eyes fall out or glasses fall to the floor. No, there was time now. There was time.
So, favourites from this batch. And then let's go favourites overall.
From this batch.
Let me get my list. Let me see.
Boo Boom Boobalina is up there. Bureau Proto Society.
Hammerhead!
Hammerhead. Hammerhead. I can't do it. And I would put in Pat Labor there, and I think Ragnarok would be in that binder as well. And that's not just a big old director thing. I did enjoy what was happening in the short too.
I think. Yeah, Hammerhead is definitely a thing you'd recommend people.
Absolutely.
I think Bureau Proto Society works as well, because it's not like... You could recommend that to somebody who hasn't watched much anime, because it's not like everything's an anime reference.
Yeah.
I think I like most of these things. I think Girl and Neon Genesis Impacts are the only things that I wasn't too hot on in this batch. Yeah,
it's a good bunch.
And if you know a pervert, you'd recommend Robot on the Road to them.
Yeah, that's... I mean, even hell, the robot even looks like Shin-chan's father.
in the robot version.
Yeah. It's got to be Hammerhead for me.
I wouldn't enable someone for sure.
oh, there's blogs that show this kind of stuff. Yeah.
But it's really well made. That's the problem.
Oh, it is.
It's like, of this bunch, that might be the best made of the lot. But there you go. And overall.
Are these kind of questions?
Overall. Okay, but let's go. Which one, if you had to pick one to get more of, obviously Dragon Dentist is out because we've already got more of that one. And I suppose Sex and Violence with Max Speed's out because technically we've had more of that as well. And all the Evangelion ones. Well, I suppose you could ask for that because you just want the next Evangelion film to drop.
Power Plant number 33. That was the one that was by the...
Yeah.
Padma, and I would love to see more of that.
Yeah.
Honestly, it's my favourite, but I think it would probably work.
Underexplored, yeah, certainly.
Yeah.
What to get more of, though? Would I want more of I Can Friday by Day? I don't know.
Which yeah. One was that? That's the squirrels operating the girl.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. They're such a good bunch of shorts. Wow.
We should make iconic feel. I mean, you already have the pitch. You already have it all planned out. Let's do that. Don't do it. Don't do that. We've already had that show 10 times over.
Plus, it's a mecha show. No one's going to watch it.
No.
Oh, The Fallen Witness. Yeah, The Fallen Witnesses. I would like to see something more with that. But as you say, probably better as a film, perhaps, than a... procedural.
But still more, but yeah. See, I might take more Obaki-chan.
Yeah, I think.
Is it like a weekly short?
Yeah.
Shorts. Yeah.
Because I like the visual design, and I like the humour. And I like the music. So, I think it's the thing I probably like. I don't say I like the most, but it's the thing which has got the most things which tick the most amount of boxes for me.
And would work better if it spun out to a longer format. Yeah.
But yeah, are these still up on the site?
Oh, there's only
up or down.
There's only four up at the moment now. They have Dragon Dennis up again because they have Duo Veda, and the other one is for some reason Cassette Girl. I don't know.
Oh, wow.
That's going to be. Actually, I'm missing the date format here. It'll be up until 12th of June, I think. And then Dragon Dennis will be up until May the 8th.
Ooh, talking of things on the calendar, I need to try and figure out what episode comes after this one. If I know at all. Because I feel like these Animator Expo episodes might get nudged again. Right, we are currently in April.
Do they plan on doing like a any form of like release of these in a like a disc format?
You'd think it's gonna be a no brainer, right?
Yeah,
they seem to be really dragging their feet in these things.
Like while we've been recording, I've just pre-ordered that Genius Party Blu-ray that's coming out.
Ah, yeah, I've got that pre-ordered.
So I was like, oh yeah. Speaking of good shorts,
I need to do the Mind Game Kickstarter there.
Ah. But yeah, this I don't think there's anything in this list where I was really like, this is...
No, the most, they're 9 minutes, so...
Yeah.
If you're getting bored, you can skip to the next one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, there's like a massive variety of like styles and inspirations and sources. Maybe you got like one in there based off an obscure Czech novel. So... There's a lot of like things they're drawing upon. Yeah. Now, that being said, a number of these things are just Evangelion chaff.
Yes.
But I would say that's they would make up a substantial component. I think no, everything else is there as original work or at least like, you know, riffing on past things or doing a new take on them. They're all worthwhile.
Yep. The Pat Labor thing coming a year later was super exciting for me. So, and hopefully they do more.
What if they add another short?
Well, who knows?
Who knows? Yeah.
Find out in November.
I think we see if I don't next week.
No. Anything you want to plug, Niall?
Me plugging. You can find me on my own podcast about animation of all kinds, Secret of Madness at secretcinemadness.com. You can
Go ahead. Ooh. Go on.
Right? Yeah.
Sorry.
You can find me on Twitter at Nicholas Cage, as NILLCOLAS_Cage. And if you're going to Gatorcon, I'll have Hell in a Cell, Best Anime Fight Scenes on one of those days. So we'll see you there if you're going.
Anthony.
Yes, you can find me at Twitter, which is @AntAskew, and that's where I'll talk about anything else that I do.
I will also be at Kitacon on the Friday. I shall be doing Anime Space Disco, which is a panel all about anime and disco and space. Not always all three at once, though. Then on Monday, on Saturday, on the Saturday, I'll be doing Mad Stravaganza, and on the Sunday, we'll be doing Dynamite in the Brain live. Weirdly, I'll be able to string a sentence together better when I've got an audience than I have just staring at a
computer. Oh, don't say that. What if you can't? What if you can't?
You know I can. You've seen me.
I know you can,
audience.
But what if you... I don't know.
Well, I might have a sore throat or something. Yes, that would
be. Yeah, I mean...
But I'm saying, in theory, I'll be able to say words to in an order to make a proper sentence better when I've got an audience than when I'm just staring at a computer and talking over Skype. So do come out and see that. Niall being there as well, and Elliot and Gary. And they'll be competing against each other in two teams to determine who is the best.
Well, I'm on the winning team. Niall, are you going to team up with me? Or?
Well, my theory was I was going to let Niall and Elliot be the team captains, so they'd have to pick you and Gary.
Me and Niall go way back. That's why he won't choose me.
Oh, I know you. I know you, Anthony. You know, I know each other a long time. I know what you're all about, which is precisely why I can't. We'll see how we go. I don't know.
Oh, that's a false hope. I'm getting false hope here. No, that should be good.
Oh, yeah, and so. And that's it for Dynamite in the Brain for another week. If you liked it, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or your podcast aggregator of choice. I don't know what will be on next week on the show.
Anime,
most likely, yes. Unless
maybe not. It's maybe not.
Might
think
be all for
what we're doing.
We might watch. Well, no, that episode will have already come out, I think, Anthony. I'm rearranging the schedule.
Yeah.
Because I want to. That otherwise, that's going to be out 4 weeks after it's got out of the cinema.
Oh, and it's already out of date. Nobody cares then.
So, yeah.
But I will care.
You know what it is, listener. We're going to watch Ghost in the Shell live. Action version.
Well, we're not going to watch it live.
No, we're going to watch it in the past and then record it, which we've already... Which will
record. That'd be pretty good.
That podcast will be recorded in the future, but you'll have heard it before this podcast.
Yeah.
Anyway, goodbye.
Goodbye.
See ya.
Your life's gone down the drain. Your body's wrecked with pain. There's just one thing to blame. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain.